Connected.
Hello and welcome to Are You Connected, episode number 67. Today is the 31st of October, it's Halloween night, and I have with me my partner in podcasting, Jenny Ashby. Hello Jenny, how are you going?
Hello Lois, I'm fine, but I'm not Halloweening.
No, neither am I.
No, not tonight.
So, let's get on to what we're going to talk about. What have you been doing, Jenny? I see you've been to a teach meet lately.
Yes, last weekend I went to Sovereign Hill and had a wonderful teach meet. Lots of people there and some lovely presentations. I think the takeaway from the day was when Mel Cashin showed her video that she had that was taken, I think, for BTN, because her school that she went to in Kahuna when she was in grade 3 was the first class to go into the school at Sovereign Hill.
Yes, because that's where the teach meet was, at Sovereign Hill.
They filmed it. And yes. There was Mel as a little girl in grade 3 talking about what she was asked the questions and everything.
Isn't that amazing?
So there she was sitting in the front row at the teach meet.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, and all the people at Ballarat were like, can we have a copy?
I think that's gorgeous. That's amazing.
So it was really good. Yeah.
I heard the takeaway event was you trying to improvise on your petticoature.
Petra Flicker,
that's it.
Petra Flicker, yeah. Well, yes, that was a bit of a challenge to do that.
And something happened, Jen. You had to improvise even more than you thought you would. Is that right?
Oh, technology just wouldn't work. Yeah, the Wi-Fi was a bit of an issue. And lucky I had all those technology experts there.
Yep.
And Mel helped out, so that was good. In the end, it all worked, so that was great.
I heard you were just good at thinking on your feet.
Thinking on my feet?
Yes.
Oh, yes, you can think on your feet. Yeah. I think it's called having the gift of the gab that we teachers have.
Oh, yeah. You've got it. Well, yeah. Teachers have got to think on their feet all the time, haven't they? That's part of the game.
Yes, but we did have fun with Petra Flicker.
Yeah.
And I'm going to show up tomorrow at the Sydney Teach Meet as well.
Yeah.
Because it's really good for oral language. You know how we like doing lots of things about oral language?
We do.
We thought of lots of different uses for Petra Flicker with oral language. And even using it for different languages.
Oh, yeah, I could see.
And talking about teachers in other languages would be really good as well for language skills.
So have you got a link to that we'll put in our show notes? Yes.
Yes, I have a link for that.
Yeah, I think we've talked about this before. You know, it's interesting talking about oral language because at the moment we've been having this discussion in our staff room, but we've got a little girl who's struggling to write because she has a muscle disorder in her hands. And so and she's only quite young. So we're looking at ways that she can do her work on an iPad and we're talking about recording. And so we're looking at different ways that they were looking originally at ways that the recording would turn into text for her.
Yes.
But her voice is immature and so the tools that we've got aren't working very well. And we're saying, well, why do we really have to turn it into text? Surely the main thing for her is to become articulate and fluent with what she has to say and being able to talk about her learning. It doesn't have to turn into text.
So she's not speaking very well.
That's right.
So she'd be just good to just record it and put it on a page and press and hear and play it.
That's right. And so that's what we're talking about, how we actually have to think about things differently, that in this day and age we don't have to be such a traditional school, and surely the most important thing for her to be in the long run is to be able to express her ideas and her learning and be articulate and fluent.
Yeah, what's she writing about? What are the ideas?
Yeah. It's the same thing, yeah. So anyway, let's move on from that.
So, Lois, how long have you been using Google Apps?
In our school, we've been using Google Apps for 2.5 years now, probably. Google Apps for Education, you mean the actual,
Yes. So I had a teacher say to me, why would I want to do that when I already have email and I've set up some mailing lists?
Well, it's so much more than email, isn't it? I mean, Google Apps for Education is about the collaboration that you can create a domain within your school where everyone goes into that. And if you create a document, for example, we use it a lot, mostly for Google Docs. They can sign into Google Apps for Education with the same sign in that they use for everything else because it's created with their NetSpace username password.
Yeah,
they sign into that. And they can share with anybody in that domain just by typing in the beginning, their first name, the beginning of their last name. It brings up all the students and all the teachers with those
Yeah.
And then they just say, share with them, share with them. Yeah. Or they can share with the whole school instantly. And so it's so good for collaboration. Then they can go home. They can open it at home, continue to work on it. Mm-hmm. And it's just brilliant that way.
How do they share it with their parents?
You can share it with their parents because they can type in a name. I'm not sure whether kids can do this, actually. I know I can. You can type in an email that's not in your domain, and but it says, are you sure you want to share it with this person because they're outside the domain?
Okay.
So we use Google Sites a lot now as well. We have a staff Google site, which is our intranet.
What about with prep to twos? Do you use it with that group of students?
The grade twos probably are starting to use it. I don't find the teachers in grade prep log in.
Yeah.
But
grade twos will probably start to use it now.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, right.
I see you've just started with your Google Apps, Jen. You're struggling a little bit.
Yeah, I am having a little bit of trouble. I'm having a little bit of trouble with groups and subdomains and sharing. And we've got Gmail accounts already, and we've got different email accounts already, and people getting mixed up between their email accounts and Gmail accounts and which Gmail account. And our domain account isn't a Gmail account because it's got our domain on it.
That's right.
So they get mixed up because it's not Gmail.
Yeah, that's right. Like a lot of our teachers have two or three accounts now, and so they have to work out how to share them across.
So they're like, which account is, why do I need another email? Because I've already got my Gmail account.
Yeah. The way I get around that is that I have my Gmail, which is my main email account, in Chrome, and my Google domain account in Safari. And so I have both browsers open, but one will be logged in as my school domain and one will be logged in as my personal Gmail account.
Personal one can't see a domain one, isn't it?
You could share it across. You can share with each other.
Mm.
But I just find it easier to keep them separate now and to use two totally different browsers. And so, you know, just that seems to work for me. That's what I'm doing at the moment. That's working well.
I guess it gets it so clearer for you to think about it too, isn't it?
I think the biggest trick that I learned, the hardest lesson I learned, because I didn't do this at the beginning, we just put all the staff and students in one big bundle.
Yes.
And you really have to create subdomains so that the staff and the students are in totally different subdomains.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you can enable Google Plus for the staff and not enable it for the students. Because if the students try to log in on Google Plus, Google will instantly ban them. You know, And the only way around that is to ring them up and beg to put them back in and say, look, I've created subdomains now. They'll never do it again. It was an accident. Or you wait till they're totally deleted and then put them back in at the beginning. You
can't just delete them yourself.
No, once they're on that suspension, you can't actually delete them.
Oh, wow.
You have to wait till the suspension is until they're fully deleted, or I think you can ring Google on their number and ask for them to be reinstated.
So which apps do you think you should enable first?
Oh, Google Drive without hesitation.
Just Google Drive?
Yeah.
And then not have all the others. And what do you get in Google Drive?
With Google Drive, you get presentations, spreadsheets, documents.
Sites?
No, Sites is separate, but I don't know whether that's automatically enabled.
Okay.
And I know people are doing great things on Sites with student portfolios now, and that's something I'm going to look into.
Yes.
As a way to create a student portfolio is to create a Google site, because they're not hard to make.
And then they could add to it at home if they wanted to?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They just have to log in at home.
Then just no one will see it, but it'll be locked inside Google, will it?
It will be in the school domain, but they can, everyone in the school can see it. It depends on how public they make it. You can make things public. It's in your sharing settings. If you choose to make it open on the web, I guess you can make it public and then anyone could see it.
Okay. Mm. And on Google Sites, can you add comments?
Yes.
Yes?
Yeah, if you choose to.
Right.
There's like four different basic templates on Google Sites.
Yeah.
And so some are like a blog type setup where it's comments.
Yeah.
You know, a post with comments. And others are like, one's called a file cabinet where you just upload things and we put our minutes and stuff in one like that. And So there's three or four different templates to use, and they have different features on them.
Can you have blogs on your site?
Well, we use one that's like a blog. We call that that's where we do our daily announcements. It's very like a blog.
Okay.
And you just put posts on there.
I'm thinking about the alternate and how the alternate had different portals.
Mm-hmm.
The alternate had different, polls, and it had notice boards, and it had different things.
Well, it's more like
sites in Google have different things like that.
Yeah, but it's more like a web page where you insert different things into it. So you can insert HTML, you can insert things, you can insert anything from your Google Drive, for example, any document.
I'm thinking of WordPress. Is it like that at all?
It's a little bit like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, parts of it are like that.
Maybe I'll look at it in the plane tomorrow. No, I can't. That's online.
Yeah, that's right. Oh.
That's bad luck.
Yeah. Mm. It's interesting, though, because, with the new Google, how they've got the little shortcuts on the right-hand side of the page now, and you've got there's no shortcut to Google Sites.
You can't find it either.
No, you have to actually type it in the address bar. Not happy about that.
So what's the address for it?
I think it's sites.google.com. I mean, if you...
Right.
Once you're logged in your domain, if you put sites somewhere in the address bar, it'll bring it up there.
Right, then you can create a site.
Oh, I believe so. Or you can find the ones you've created. But I don't know why it's missing from the shortcuts. That seems a bit odd.
So you've made your own school intranet there.
Yep.
And what's on your intranet?
We have quite a few pages on it. We have the front page is like our daily news for people, like who's away, who's got a yard duty change, any announcement anyone makes, and what meetings are coming up.
Mm-hmm.
But then behind that, we have pages for all the different committees that's where they put their minutes, so people can access the minutes from different committees.
Mm-hmm.
We have links for all the staff so they can get to EduPay at home or at school or wherever they want, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
The computer fault log. We have, I have an iPad page that has a form on it. So if you want to change something on an iPad, you just fill in the form, or if there's a fault on the iPad, you fill that in, so I get that information. So, just stacks of stuff on there.
That's a good idea. I like the idea for a form for things to change on the iPad.
Yeah, yeah. So, if you've got a suggestion for a new software or you're going number 444 isn't working properly, it needs an update, something rather
than... How many teachers at your school?
About 30 or 40.
How many students?
650-ish, 600.
So your school is more than three times the size of my school.
Correct.
Which is why I can just walk around and, easily tell everyone.
It's different.
Because they're all so close and we're all just eight of us or something.
It is different. It's quite different. And so ours is like key to our communication. And you can't, and it's the teacher's responsibility to read the intranet in the morning. And they can't say, I didn't know that. If it's on the intranet, that's their responsibility to catch up with
that. And because they can see at home as well.
That's right. That's the best part.
They can check things while they're eating their breakfast or something or whenever.
I'll tell you what. We type the staff meeting minutes up in the meeting. We take turns to type them up. So they go straight on. They're on the intranet straight away. And there's a link to that document. And I know that the part-timers, as I'm typing them, I can see the part-timers coming on and reading the minutes as the meeting is on.
Oh, so they're at the meeting too?
Technically, they're at the meeting too. They're knowing what's going on as it's going.
Do you have the chat window open down the side? So
No, because our meetings are pretty fast. You have to be pretty quick to type the minutes, but you can see their name come up the top.
Yeah.
So you know that they're reading the minutes. So that's pretty cool.
Okay, well, that's interesting. Well, there's been a few updates lately, Lois.
Yes, yeah, been a lot of updates. You're talking about Apple updates.
We need to be careful.
Yes, we do. You need to be careful with your app updates. Is that what you're talking about, Jen?
Well, you need to be careful with everything update, whether it's your phone or your iPad or your laptop.
Mm-hmm.
All things, when you're considering updating, you need to think, why do you need to update?
Mm-hmm.
I'm able to update. I mean, my iPhone, I can't update. There's not enough space on it for the update.
That's probably, yep.
Are your apps ready for an update?
Are they on the right iOS to update them?
Yeah, or if you're updating apps, are you on the right update? And you can check when you're updating apps because it'll say what the new thing is.
Yeah, that's right.
It might say this is ready for iOS 7 or something.
And you actually have to read that now because if I haven't updated my iPads to iOS 07 and if I update the apps, then they won't run. I've noticed that with two in particular.
Some of them won't. It will tell you on which on the app information, it will tell you which iOSs are supported by it.
Uh-huh.
So it still should be supported by some iOS, but, you know, iOS 5 is getting a bit old and some apps are not supported anymore by iOS 5.
Well, I updated Skitch and Vimeo without thinking about it and they won't go on to my iPads now because they've moved to the iOS 7 update.
Yeah.
And I don't have iOS 07 on my iPads. Yeah.
And I did read at some stage that Apple had provided all the old versions of apps for people to get, but I still haven't been able to find where.
Oh.
And I was talking to an app developer about it and we were trying to figure out where. And then I was also trying to work out how it would work with volume purchased apps. So if you want some of your volume purchased apps to be updated and some of them not because you've got a variety of different iPads like we have.
Oh, I don't think that would work.
Some of them will update and some of them won't. So that gets you in a bind, doesn't it?
It does, especially with the configurator. So, and the Mavericks download, Jen, that's an...
Yes, that's an operating system for the laptops and the desktops, Mac desktops and laptops. And it's 5.2 or 4 gigabytes
download. That's huge. That's massive. That's
a very big download, yes. And be wary with Mavericks because you'll find in a school situation, you may find things that it's not compatible with, like the printer, for instance, at school. Because the printer hasn't updated its software, hasn't got a new driver out that is for Mavericks yet.
Yeah, so that's a bit early for that one. Then we won't jump to do that one.
Right, so we need to, for our technicians to have tested it and everything, which is what they usually do.
I did see a tweet somewhere that it breaks the SMB link. And I know that we have a PC network in our school and we use the SMB link to link into our PC network.
Yeah.
So that I'm not really keen on breaking anything like that.
No. So, yes, Mavericks, be very careful.
All right. I'll stay away from that one at the moment.
And iMovie. Apparently iMovie, the update of iMovie on the MacBooks is not compatible with the iMovie on the iPads. This is with Mavericks.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Yeah, Mavericks updates. When you update Mavericks, you've also got updates for the iApps on the laptops. Yes.
And they're free. They're going to be free from now on.
Yeah, and actually the Mavericks update is free. Usually you have to pay for new systems. Yeah, and it's free.
Okay.
And apparently it's been downloaded more than any other update they've ever had.
Okay.
And I guess because it's free, people said, oh, well, why not?
Well, I'm going to hang off till they fix some of those glitches that you've just talked about, though.
Could be a good idea.
Yeah. Now, Wise World Innovation Summit for Education, Jen, what's that about?
Yes, that's on right now in Qatar. Is that how you say it?
Qatar, yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it's on now and it's a group of all sorts of people from around the world, very interesting people with lots of great keynotes, panels, discussions about all sorts of things about how we should be reinventing education and learning for the next centuries.
Okay, and so there's recordings of that online.
And all the sessions, there are recordings of them. Once they're over, you can watch them live, actually. They're on now live and you can watch them happening and hear the great speakers talking about different things. Julia Gillard was on last night at 11 p.m. our time and she did a wonderful speech. And she was talking about education being something that actually takes a generation. She said it takes a generation to change. And we're the generation making the change for the next generation in education.
Well, I think we are, don't you?
Yeah, yes.
I think this is the most change I've ever seen. And we're talking about, like, a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we're talking about 30 years in education. Or if you take from the time we started, that's even longer. But this is the most change I think I've ever seen in education. This is, like, the moment where kids can come to school excited about so many things and ask you if they can be doing things rather than you asking them to do things.
Yes, and wonderful discussions about education in all parts of the world. There's some great talks have been on about education for children in war-torn parts of the world.
Yeah.
In really poverty-stricken parts of the world, famine,
yeah.
All those different places around the world and different things they're doing with education. So it's a really interesting summit.
Yeah, it sounds wonderful. I'll be looking for things on that and having a listen to that. Mm. Yeah. Now, the last thing I would like to share, Jen, is that, QuickTime Player has had a lovely upgrade.
Mm.
And my kids have been making their 60-second science movies, and then they're doing little animations to explain the science. So two girls did this lovely scratch explanation of how light bends when it goes through a prism. And we said, right, now how are we going to capture that? And my techie quickly Googled for me and found the QuickTime Player now has a screen recorder and a brilliant little screen recorder.
Yeah.
So you don't need to download any other software. And so they were able to run their animation in Scratch and record it on the screen recorder as a movie and put that straight into their iMovie. It's brilliant.
Was that on their laptop?
Yeah.
So we've already got QuickTime on our laptops.
That's right. That was my point.
So it's just there. We just use that to record.
Yeah. See, I thought I was going to have to download Jing.
Mm.
And he said, well, there's QuickTime Player. And I'm thinking that doesn't work. But no, sure enough, the third menu down is screen recording.
Oh, and you thought it was just for playing.
Well, it used to be.
Right.
And now you can record your screen. And it gives you the option of dragging across the window that you want to record.
Mm.
So we made Tux Paint animations, played them in Tux Paint and recorded them using the screen recorder. We did Scratch animations, played the Scratch scenario and recorded it in screen recorder.
Yeah.
Then put the movie into iMovie with the rest of the movie that the kids had made.
Oh, that sounds great.
That was really good. I think that's a really handy little tool.
That is a handy tool.
Yeah. All right. I think we're done, Jen.
I think we are for today because we wanted to keep it short.
We did. We've probably gone over our time already. So
hard to tell.
So thanks all our listeners for tuning in again to Are You Connected? And thank you, Jenny.
See you later, Lois. Bye.
See you, Jenny. Bye.